if you're here. This afternoon we'll have the annual performance plan presentation for 2017-2018 financial year from the Office of the Chief Justice. Let me hand over to you to begin, and maybe what you could do, you could start with the introduction.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon to yourself, members of the committee, and everybody. My name is Mem Mercy Josengwe. I am the Secretary General for the Office of the Chief Justice with a team, and I will ask them to introduce themselves one by one. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Tebogo Mashifane. I'm the Head of Office in the SC's office, also dealing with parliamentary issues.
Good afternoon. I'm Ellen Nichols, responsible for strategic planning and service delivery in the OCJ.
Good afternoon, honourable members. I'm Kasi Kutser, Chief Financial Officer in the Office of the Chief Justice.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable Chairperson and members, for the opportunity for the Vote 22 Office of the Chief Justice National Department to present its annual performance plan 2017-18 financial year. The presentation outline will deal with the purpose, the legislative requirements and prescripts relevant, the vision, mission and values of the department, its mandate, strategic goals, contribution to both the NDP and the MTSF, major highlights of the success of the department since inception to date, transformation programs and sub-programs plans, changes to the budget program structure, summary of the OCJ budget for the 2017 MTEF and the OCJ strategic register. As already alluded to, the purpose is to present to the Honourable Committee the 17-18 annual performance plan of the department. The legislative requirements are indicated, Chairperson, with your permission. I may skip this because we normally present them, but for convenience sake, I'll get an indication from you. The legislative requirements and prescripts complied with in terms of our planning as defined in the Section 92 of the Constitution, Tribunal Regulation 5, issued in terms of the PFMA, the Public Service Regulation 2016, the National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plans and Annual Performance Plans of 2010, from Treasury, the Framework for Managing Performance and Performance Information of 2007 as defined by the DPME. The vision, mission and values of the departments remain the same, they have not changed. The mandate of the OCJ still remains the same in relation to its inception and after the transfer of the Superior Court in the year 2014. The strategic goals also remain the same, but for emphasis, our first strategic goal relates to effective and efficient administration of the department, which relates to the administration of the department and providing optimal support to the judiciary, and that's where governance is involved. Strategic goal number two is focused on improving administrative and technical support to the judiciary. In relation to this, is program 2 and 3, where we enable the judiciary to deliver on their constitutional mandate relating to the courts, the JSC support, the administration of the Judges Remuneration Act, as well as judicial education. Program 3 ensures the administration support to the superior courts, and the statement, it's program number 2, where it provides administrative and technical support to ensure efficiency and effectiveness of the courts in the adjudication of cases. Contribution to the NDP. In relation to the department's contribution to the National Development Plan, we're looking at Chapter 14 of the NDP, which relates to promoting accountability and fighting corruption, and with emphasis on strengthening the judicial governance and the rule of law. And these are the five key areas of focus: accelerating reforms to implement judicially-led court administration, ensuring efficient court system, reducing court administration inefficiencies, access to justice in short, and ensuring judicial accountability and providing training through the South African Judicial Education Institute. Further than that, we are also contributing through Chapter 13 to the NDP, which relates to governance, the building of a capable state through implementing and following strategic objectives of the department are, number one, capacitating the OCJ and department and strategic objective number two relates to ensuring good governance in the administration of the department. And these indicators and targets are indicated later on in the presentation. Now moving to the MTSF, the medium-term strategic framework, we contribute to two outcomes. The first is outcome 12, an efficient and effective development-oriented public service. Indicators and targets thereof are in Program 1 and Program 3 of the presentation coming later. And then we also contribute to outcome number 3 of the MTSF. All people in South Africa are and feel safe, and the indicators and targets thereof are contained in Program 2 to be delivered later. We move now to the program and the sub-program. I would like to indicate here that this slide is edited for the sake of clarity. It was not in the original, just to indicate that the programs for the department have changed. We had indicated it as we were presenting in the previous year, but just for clarity's sake, so that we see that the names of the programs have changed, it's not anything major. The changes are just to remove risk management out of internal audit sub-program in Program 1, and then the moving of the JSC support as well as the judicial support to Program 3. Those are the main, the only changes. They have already been there and approved by Treasury. Thank you. Program 1, administration. The purpose being providing leadership, management, and support services to the department. The program consists of the following sub-programs, which are 5, management, corporate services, finance and internal audit, and office administration. In relation to management, it relates to planning, M&E, performance and reporting, risk management functions that ensures proper governance in the department. Corporate services relates to IT and HR, security management relating to the department, services to the department. Financial administration relating to financial and expenditure management in the department, internal audit for overall internal forensic services to the department, and office accommodation relating to acquisition of the accommodation for the department. We now move into the strategic objective indicators in Program 1. We have two main objectives, strategic objectives. One relating to 1.1 percentage of funded vacant posts on personnel per year. The MTEF targets the 3 year. The first is the 17-18, 10% or lower, right through the MTEF period, as this is defined in the DPSA prescripts, for all funded vacancies to be 10% or below. The second strategic objective, 1.2, audit outcomes on financial statements, is the indicator. And the MTEF, the first year is unqualified audit on financial statements for the 16-17 year. The next year, 18-19, will pursue unqualified audit outcome on financial statements for this year with not more than 3 matters of emphasis. And in the outer year, 19-20 year, clean audit with outcome on financial statements for the 18-19 financial year. Now we break in the first year, 17-18, that relates to the APP now being presented. The quarterly targets for the 17-18, in the first year, in the first quarter, second quarter and third quarter, we don't have targets. Our target will be at the last quarter 4, where we will be when we'll be reporting on the 10% and lower achievement. The second strategic objective on audit outcome relating to financial statements and audit outcome. The first quarter, nothing. The second, unqualified audit outcome on financial statement for the financial year, because that is when the annual report will be coming out. I would like to mention that where there are no indicators in each target, the Honorable Committee need not worry, because we're managing this through our operational plan. It is there, and we make sure that it's aligned to make sure that they're monitoring in that regard. Program performance indicators continued. 1.3, the next indicator relating to annual performance, which is compliant with the national prescripts, as already indicated in the previous slide on the compliance. The medium-term targets, the 3 years, is to ensure that we table the APP in Parliament as per the National Treasury timelines the same year, each year, to make sure that there is compliance. 1.4, the second independence indicator, combined assurance plan implemented. In the first year, we will ensure that we implement in all superior courts. In the second year, 18-19, combined assurance plan will be reviewed to take the lessons of the previous year, and in the outer year, we will improve the combined plan based on those experiences. Indicator number 1.5, number of strategic and operational risk registered, reviewed, and updated. It will be 8 per year. It is both the strategic as well as the the operational as well as the strategic register that will be done in each year. 1.6, indicator fraud and risk assessment conducted within the OCJ. In the first year, the current year, the fraud risk assessment will be conducted in 24 superior court centers. The fraud risk prevention strategy developed in the next 18-19 year, and in the last year, the fraud risk prevention strategy will be implemented. Still on program 4, the 7th indicator ICT master system plan implemented over the MTEF. In the first year, the implementation will relate to information security framework developed. In the second year, we will implement, and in the third year, the framework also will be implemented. It will be progressive. 8th indicator, number of compliant financial performance reports submitted within the prescribed times. These are the standard 12 reports that we have to submit to National Treasury every year. The 9th indicator, number of assets registered with no material findings produced in line with prescripts, 2, as we do one every 6 months. Every year we will ensure that 2 are done. Quarterly targets for 17-18. In the first quarter, I will leave the indicators and the annual because I've already covered them in the previous slide. Quarter number 1 will develop annual plan, which is compliant with prescripts. Quarter 2 will ensure that it is submitted to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and National Treasury on time. Quarter 3 will ensure that the compliant plan is submitted to the NDP as well as the National Treasury. And in the fourth quarter, we will ensure that it is tabled in Parliament within the timeline as prescribed. In relation to the combined assurance plan, in the first quarter, we will implement in all superior courts. This is what will run through each and every quarter, so that the plan is implemented in all the courts. This is a compliance issue. Number of strategic and operational risks reviewed, that is the 8th indicator under Program 1. Quarter 1, 2, and 3, and 4 will have 2 in each in each year. 6th indicator, fraud and risk assessment conducted within the OCJ. In the first quarter of 17-18, we will ensure that fraud risk assessments are conducted in the 6 superior courts. In the second, same, and throughout up to quarter number 4. 7th ICT master system plan implemented over the MTF. We will start in the second quarter where the ICT TORs, or terms of reference, are in place for the security framework. In the third quarter, we will have ensure that it is developed, and in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter is the draft, and the final will be in the fourth quarter. 8th indicator, number of compliant performance, financial performance reports, 12 in the year. Every year, 3 will be submitted as required. 9, number of assets registered with no material findings produced in the in line with the prescripts. We will have the report in first quarter number 2 as well as quarter number 3. Sorry, quarter number 4, because they are done every 6 months, the assessment of the assets. We move into program 2, superior court services. Program 2 provides court administration services to all superior courts, and it consists of sub-programs relating to administration of superior courts, where we provide technical admin support to monitor the overall performance and enhance judicial stakeholder relations. The Constitution second sub-program is the Constitutional Court. It funds activities relating to the operations of the Concord, which has jurisdiction over matters relating to constitutional and other matters of general public importance. The SCA funds activities relating to the same court, which adjudicates appeals in any matter arising from the High Court or courts of similar status. The High Court is the fourth sub-program, which funds the work of the High Court divisions, which has jurisdiction over defined jurisdictional areas in relation to the general divisions, as well as the specialized courts, which is the last sub-program, fund operations relating to the labor appeal court, land claims court, competition appeal, and electoral courts, which adjudicates over various matters which are excluded from the jurisdiction of the general division of the lower courts as well of the high courts. Program 2, strategic objective indicators. Ensuring the effective and efficient administration of the superior courts, the objective indicator percentage of quasi-judicial targets, our MTEF targets, will be 80% in the current year, and will increase by 10% in 18-19 to 90, and as well as 100 at 19-20. Quarterly targets, the same objective, strategic objective and indicator, 2.1. Percentage of achievement of quasi-judicial targets, we will maintain that, as already indicated above, at 80% in each quarter. Indicator number 2, number of superior court performance monitoring reports produced per year will be 5 in a year, as already alluded to, and we'll sustain that over the MTEF period. Percentage, 2.3 percentage of default judgments finalized by the registrars, 80% in this current year, and it will grow by 10%, as already alluded to, and to 100% in 1920. Percentage of taxations of legal costs finalized per year, 80%, growing by 10% also in relation to the next 2 years. 2.5, the number of training workshops on case management for the staff that supports the judicial functions, that is the registrars, the statisticians, and the clerks, per year will conduct 4 each year. 2.6 percentage of warrant of release delivered within the 1 day of the release granted by the judge. In the current year, 98%, and we will sustain that in the next 2 year MTE period. Now moving to the indicators per quarter for the 17-18, the performance reports produced per year. In the first quarter, we'll produce 2. In the next 2 quarters, 2, 3, and 4, 1 report. The other report is extra report. If you look at the quarters, is the annual report. 2.3 percentage of default judgments finalized by registrars, 80% will be sustained through each quarter. Taxations of legal costs finalized per year will also sustain 80% each quarter. Training for the staff supporting judicial functions, 1 per quarter. And the percentage of warrants of liberations delivered within 1 day of release by the judge will sustain it at 98% each quarter. Honorable Chairperson and members, this is also an additional information just for purposes of clarity. It is a statistical table. You will recall in the previous year when we presented, we had a statistical table in our APP. In this current 17-18, it is not in the APP now. And I would like to draw attention of the members to the fact that the statistical table is not included in the 17-18 following a resolution of the Chief Justice and the Heads of Courts and the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services that the court performance is not part of is part of judicial function and not the mandate and under control of the OCJ. For purposes of reference, we just tabled what this statistical table is, and you'll recall if you look at them, it's relating to finalizing of the cases in the Concord, the SCA, the High Court, civil cases, criminal cases, and all the specialized cases covered, including the percentage of disclosures for both serving judges submitted by the end of March, as well as for the new judges. Also, maybe to highlight the fact that the OCJ is currently supporting the judiciary with the development of their own judicial plan as part of its mandate, and the CJ further in the meeting with the Portfolio Committee in Midrand on the 26th of November did advise the committee accordingly. Moving to Program 3, Judicial Education and Support, the purpose being the to provide education programs to judicial officers, including policy development, research, and optimal administration of justice. The program consists of three sub-programs. The first is SAGE, and the funds are used to fund the training and continuous judicial education for judicial officers. The second sub-program, Judicial Policy Research Support, fund provision of support of advisory opinions on policy development and regulatory services to the judiciary and the department. The last sub-program supports the Secretariat Services of the Judicial Services Commission to execute its mandate. Sub-program 3, Strategic Objective Indicator, 3.1, number of education courses conducted per year, 375. In the MTEF, the numbers for the current year will be 77 conducted. In 1918-19, 82, and in 1920, it will be 87. Breaking the indicator now into annual targets for 17-18. The 17 will be broken down in terms of the four quarters as follows. In first quarter, it will be 11. In the second, 36. In the third, 15. And in the fourth quarter, 15 courses conducted. Continue on Program 3, Performance Indicators, 3.2, Monitoring Evaluation Program Framework, sorry, for Judicial Education and Training implemented, the MTEF targets. In the first year, the MNE Framework for Judicial Education and Training will be piloted. The MNE Framework is a tool that will be utilized to determine the effectiveness of the training program as per the decision of Council for Judicial Education Institute. 18-19, the framework will be implemented, as well as in 19-20, the training, the MNE will be reviewed and improved as a continuous process. Indicator number 3.3, legal advisor opinion and policy development research provided within 15 working days. 17-18, 85%. The next year will grow to 90% and 100% in 1920. 3.4 indicator, number of reports on judicial appointments and judicial complaints produced. Annual 17-18 will be 3 and will be sustained throughout the MTEF period. Breaking down the 17-18 indicators and targets to quarters. 3.2, in the first quarter, in the second quarter, sorry, a plan and an evaluation tool and a plan for piloting of the two courses will be done. In the third quarter, we will pilot the implementation of the MNE framework, and in the fourth quarter, we'll evaluate the findings of the pilot and move forward with the implementation thereafter. Indicator 3.3, legal advisory opinion and research provided within turnaround time of 15 working days, 85% will be sustained throughout the year, each quarter. Indicator number 4, number of reports on judicial appointments and judicial complaints, reports produced. The annual target of 3 will report on the first quarter because the JSC sits in April, as well as the third quarter because the JSC sits again in October unless there's a special meeting. And in quarter number 4 will be the annual report. We're moving now to the strategic risk. The 17-18 strategic risk register is indicated in terms of program 1, 2, and 3. And the objective for strategic objective for program 1 are indicated. I've already alluded to them in the presentation before. I will not repeat them. I'll focus on the risks. a strategic risk, inadequate budget to capacitate the OCJ, and inadequate measures to enforce governance. The action plan will be the costing of the structure and reprioritization of posts. The second will be request additional funding from National Treasury to capacitate the Corps. In relation to the second objective, inadequate measures to enforce governance, will establish a unit to facilitate governance within the department and monitor the implementation of compliance measures. Program two, inadequate support provided to the superior courts, we will conduct as a mitigating factor to the risk, needs analysis for operationalization of the Superior Courts Act in terms of budget and personnel, monitor the facilities and infrastructure issues that arise in the courts, and engage Department of Justice and Public Works for intervention where relevant on relation to the joint contract. The fourth risk relating to Program 2, relating to IT and business system, and for modernization of the judicial system, will request funding on the IGS and Treasury for Modernization Program of the Department to implement our Master Systems Plan. Strategic risk number five, inconsistent application of the court administration standards and guidelines rules, also in relation to the mitigation plan. This risk relates to the operational risk register. I would just like to draw attention of the committee that we will be moving this number five and ABC to the operational register. It inadvertently got into the strategic register risk. Program three, judicial education and support, with its objective, the risk, inadequate resources to facilitate training for judicial officers. We'll mitigate that by facilitating training programs to create a pool of guest facilitators, converting and implementing the manual training module for e-learning, and requesting additional funding through Treasury to enhance the capacity for judicial education. I will hand over to the CFO to present on the budget slides, and with your permission, the other slide we included after these two relating to our attempts with National Treasury to get additional funding. Just before he goes into the two slides, just to indicate that we as a department are going to experience challenges with the budget ceiling in relation to capacitation of the department, because the budget ceiling has tied our hands in terms of capacity, and we have engaged Treasury on that, and we have not been very successful, but we have made our own internal arrangements. But the budget is still a problem, especially when it comes to compensation of employees. Over to the CFO.
Thank you, SG. Honourable Chair members, the first slide deals with the overall picture of the OCJ budget. I just want to remind the members that the budget of the OCJ is actually made up out of two main portions. The first portion represents the voted funds, so those are the ones that we are actually utilizing to operate and administer the courts, whilst the second portion deals with the direct charges, and that is allocated for judges' remuneration as well as judges' gratuities. Those are the benefits and that the judges receive out of direct charges. So the first portion of the budget, as I said, deals with your voted funds. We are structured into three budget programs: administration, superior court services, and then judicial education and support. Honourable members, if you look at the bottom line of the voted funds, that is the yellow portion in the middle that says subtotal, you will note that there was a budget increase of 16.54% from the previous financial year to the 17-18 financial year. I will give a bit more detail about that. Although it looks very impressive, we are actually running into a problem with that increase, because that increase was mainly for compensation of employees to fund the macro structure of the newly established OCJ. But what happened is, in the budget ceilings for compensation, the Treasury then implemented for the outer years, it means that we cannot fill those posts Because if we fill all the posts for this financial year that we can afford with this budget increase, we won't be able to afford the people that we've appointed in the two outer years because they've shrinked our budget ceiling for compensation in years 2 and 3 of the MTEF. So it would actually be irresponsible of the OCJ to fill the positions and use the money if we know that we cannot afford it in the outer 2 years. So that increase is actually for us null and void because we can't use the money. Then if you look at the overall budget, the last line, the total budget, you will see that in total with the direct charges, the budget has increased by 8.8%, with an increase in direct charge of 1.7%. Just to explain then, if you look at Program 1, the increase of 37.2% in Program 1 is mainly as a result of compensation of employees that were added for the macro structure at national office management level. But as I explained, it would not really assist us. Then Superior Court Services, you will see it's almost, that is the bulk of the budget, where the bulk of the money is allocated for support to the Superior Courts. You will see it's basically almost a CPIX growth. So we can just afford what we had in the past, maybe. Then in Program 3, it looks as if the 64.4% is a major growth in the budget, but you will have to remember, as a result of the budget program structure, we moved judicial support and the JEC from Program 2 to Program 3, which almost doubled the budget of the Program 3. Over and above that, National Treasury has allocated an additional 10 million rand for us for the training of judicial officers. So the actual growth in the judicial education and support program was a 10 million that we received additional for more training programs for judicial officers. If we move to the next slide, that is the same figures just broken down into economic classification. Now, honorable members, just to illustrate the point that I made in terms of compensation of employees, you will see that our budget ceiling, the first blue portion voted for this financial, for the previous financial year was 555 million, and it's now increased to 615 million in the current financial year. But if you look at the outer years, to get from 615 million to 648 million, given the cost of living increase that you have to plan for, as well as other social benefits, when you multiply that with the cost of living increase that is projected by National Treasury, we are projecting to then spend almost 680 million in the outer year. And that is the reason why I'm saying at this stage, we are at 555 million for compensation of employees. We can do no additional appointments in this financial year in terms of our approved structure to still capacitate the new department. And therefore, we will be stuck almost at this 555 million plus the cost of living increase for this financial year. That's around 7%. Then if you look at the rest of the operational budget, your goods and services budget has increased to 320 million. Then provincial and local government is small at 67,000. Departmental agencies and account is 13,000. Then households, that is where you will find the gratuities of the judges in terms of their long-term benefits. The portion that is applicable there are the direct charges portion of 57 million, and what is for the voted funds, 1.4 million that will be allocated to households. Then capital budget, machinery and equipment. Members will remember that some of the judges' benefits include the government motor vehicle, and the cost of the government motor vehicles for judges are budgeted under the capital portion of the machinery and equipment budget. So that is provided for at 65 million for the financial year. Then we've made provision additionally for this financial year. You will see there were no budget for software. In order for us to kickstart the e-filing project that you've also seen in Program 1 as one of the KPIs in terms of the master systems plan, E-filing, we've provided a $15 million for this financial year to kickstart that project to ensure that we start with court modernization. That deals then with the overall OCJ budget. Then, as the SG indicated, Honourable Chair, the following table was a table that we submitted to National Treasury as part of our baseline MTEF allocation requests. Now, these eight items are the items that were not funded by National Treasury as a result of numerous issues, mainly budget cuts that were enforced by National Treasury throughout all departments. But these are the items in the OCJ budget that we didn't receive any funding for, and that will have a serious impact on service delivery. As I explained, if you look at item number one, the correction of the compensation of employee budget ceiling, in the first year, if we point up until $615 million, just to correct that, we need an additional $10.7 million and $7.6 million in the outer years. Coupled to that, in the outer years, item number two, for the implementation of the Superior Courts Act and the capacity that we needed at the courts, the compensation budget would have to increase in the outer years by $14.3 and $15.1 million. In the first financial year, the current financial year, we've also requested a capital amount for court modernization that will be represented by the $34.86 million. Then the funding of the macro structure of the OCJ that was approved has never really kick-started because we haven't received the money, and again, Treasury didn't allocate money for the macro structure. We would need $10 million in the first year, $16 in the second year, and $17.5 million in the third year for the funding of the macro structure of the OCJ. Then obviously, once you appoint people, there is an operational cost allocated to that that is represented by goods and services, capital that you need to purchase furniture and whatever for new appointments. The effect thereof would be $7 million, $7.7 million, $8.3 million. Then National Treasury never, when we obtained the vote of the OCJ, they never allocated a budget for us to pay for the Auditor General, the AG audit that is compulsory and we have to be audited every year, and departments have to pay for the Auditor General cost. Now, in terms of baseline transfers, the agreement was that Justice still had to pay for their audits, and Treasury initially indicated they will add that to the baseline of the OCJ. Despite our request, they've never added any budget for the Auditor General cost, and therefore we have to then reprioritize on our operational budget to be able to afford the Auditor General. We have again requested in the previous MTE submission, but Treasury hasn't allocated money for the AG. Then we've also requested an amount of $10 million for judicial projects, and those are various projects that the Chief Justice and the Heads of Court might have identified, judicial conferences, etc., to be able to deal with the judicial agenda at that level. We haven't received a budget for that as well. Then, in terms of the DPSA, Department of Public Service and Administration, new policy and regulations that came out, the OCJ didn't have a baseline budget when we were established to ensure that we have employee health and wellness programs and health and risk management training that needed to, that's now compulsory. This would be the cost for the OCJ, the $2.2 million and $267,000 for the financial year. We haven't received money. So in terms of legislative compliance, we're running the risk that we wouldn't comply if we don't implement these policies and regulations. Then one of the major concerns for the department and the judiciary is that the budget for the Mpumalanga High Court, that is 94% built in Nelspruit, in Bombela, needs to be capacitated once it's finished, and the operational cost that we've budgeted for has not been allocated by National Treasury. So what it means is that if the building is completed, the capital infrastructure will be there, but we wouldn't be able to operate the courts because we do not have a budget to appoint the administrative staff as well as an operational budget to maintain the court and run the court. So that budget hasn't been allocated by National Treasury, so that is the risk that we are running currently in terms of the Mpumalanga High Court. Members and Honourable Chair will remember that we opened the operationalized the Limpopo High Court during the previous financial year. The benefit that we had is that the Gauteng division of the High Court operated the Limpopo division as a circuit court, which was relatively well staffed, and therefore we could just take over the personnel of the circuit courts and some of the personnel of the magistrates' courts. So it was fairly easy to operationalize the Limpopo court because the capacity was there. But from Mpumalanga, there is nothing, and we really beg the committee to intervene in this matter to ensure that we are able to operate the courts once it's finished. Then in terms of an interdepartmental transfer, the Treasury agreed to, that is why we put it at number 9, and in red, eventually after Treasury didn't fund this, the Department of Justice agreed to fund the ICT license fees, the Microsoft license fees of the Office of the Chief Justice for the 3 outer years. So these are the additional requests that we have submitted to National Treasury. And you will note, honourable members, that for the current financial year, it's almost the 90 million that we need to maintain services and also then to expand services to Mpumalanga once it's needed. And then in the outer years, 91 million and 94 million. Thank you, SG.
Just to add to this slide. The slide is not honourable chairperson and members. You will not find it in the original presentation. As I indicated, it was just to highlight the fact that we have made attempts with Treasury to get something, and we had. I think in the past we included this slide. It is not the first time. In the previous year we did, but it was just for purposes of clarifying the fact that we didn't get money. But also, in addition, with regard to Mpumalanga, we have, in terms of the transfer of the functions from the DOJ, Department of Justice, only I think around 5 or 6 officials have been transferred now, because the intention was to delay the transfer of the staff because the court was being built. Now the staff will get about one director and I think 5 support staff members from the Department of Justice, just to clarify that. But in terms of operational cost, there is nothing. We still don't have funding for that, just to clarify that. And also that the committee to keep in mind that in the last JSC sitting, the judge president of the division has already been interviewed. So it is imminent that the appointment could take place too. So just to highlight those aspects, but your indulgence, this slide is already contained in the previous. We were just highlighting the issues that we have now, and my apologies for that. The next slide deals with the transformation agenda that we'll pursue in the next 5 years. It was also not in your initial, but just to give you an indication, because I'm aware the portfolio committee in the last talked a lot about transformation issues. Just to highlight that the work has not started, but just to indicate those are the issues that we will try and pursue in the next 5 years of the department moving forward. Just to look in, for instance, aligning it with the NDP and the MTSF in support of the judicial branch, we'll look at the review of legislation and regulation that administered by the department, which requires to be looked at. As an example, the Remuneration of Judges Act has not been reviewed in terms of legislations for a long time, and now it has been delegated by the minister to the SG in the delegation framework. The preparations for the transfer of the lower courts is something that the OCJ has to also keep in mind for moving forward. Supporting the judiciary in their judicial planning, I've already alluded in the slide where I dealt with the statistical table that the judiciary has started their judicial planning work, and we are supporting that. Modernization is already covered, and supporting the judicial international relations work of the judiciary. Highlights, the slide is relevant. I think you know most of the information relating to what has been achieved with what budget we have had since the OCJ's inception in 2010. It's just to give those highlights that with the money that we have and the budget that we have, the capacity that we have, these are the things that we're able to do to acquire the headquarters, the new headquarters, and you met with the Chief Justice and heads of courts in November last year, 2016. You've seen the building. The operationalization of the Limpopo High Court Division, we started in January last year. It was launched. The OCJ Corporate Identity Manual, you see in the slides, we have new emblems and logos of the department. We have the new website, we said it before. We have never overspent our budget. In our maiden year, we got an unqualified audit on financial statements. We have done a customer service improvement plan and tested it in 12 courts, and we had very positive results, and we are working on that work. We've improved some signages inside the courts to improve access for the public that comes to the courts. Stakeholder relations are improved. The NEC supported by the OCJ. We've capacitated the judge presidents in each court by giving them each a statistician to make sure that they begin to deal with court performance information and are capacitated and supported as such. These are just the highlight on a light note. I think that is the end. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members. And that is our presentation of the annual performance plan of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation of the annual performance plan. I will open for members to comment and maybe ask questions. I will begin with Honorable Swart, Honorable Horn, Honorable Maila, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Secretary, and thank you for the input, and congratulations on the audit outcome. There are just a few issues that I'm trying to understand, one of which relates to how we did the budget last year for salaries. Was, as I understand it, there was a cost of living increase on the direct charges, which is the salaries to judges. Then they took a 0%. Was that amount allocated, or was it reshifted, or how did that work? Just for me to understand for that financial year. Then if you look on your slide 34 and 35, we fully appreciate the budgetary constraints, and it would be helpful if you could give us those two slides as well. I think we need, the additional chair that we didn't get, the one to National Treasury. We need those two slides. But I'm referring to the ones you did give us, and that is on page 34 and 35. I'm trying to understand the problem going forward with the, and I'd like you, CFO, to unpack it again. But if you say the 49 million that you've got at the moment, and you add 16.5%, and then it goes to 82 million, is that right? Yeah, and then the increase continues. Or let's take it on the voted where you said 555 to 615 to 648. I'm trying to understand how you got to the 680 million. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more in detail. What is a concern of mine is if you go down to the direct charges, which is that 81.9 million, suddenly drops to 57 million. And that was something you mentioned, the judges' salaries and their subsidies. How come there's such a dramatic drop there? And is that not also a major issue of concern? Because that drop then continues. There's a slight increase, 61 million, 64 million. So that's from the budget. And it's a massive concern, the issue of Mpumalanga. That court is about to be completed. And that the fact that there's no budget allocation for that, I think, is inexcusable. And we definitely, it's a great concern to me if you've engaged with National Treasury and we understand the fiscal constraints, but how can we have a brand new court and there's no budget allocation? Is there any backup plan? discussions with justice, or this is an issue we might have to discuss ourselves, Chairperson. Then I'd like you to comment on something, Chair, you might need to ask your indulgence on this issue. The issue in the media about the theft of the computers raises the issue of security at the courts, and whether, firstly, what is the investigations into the theft, what steps were taken to ensure the safety of the judges in view of the fact that a lot of personal information was on those computers. And clearly, you don't have to go into too much detail there, but we just to get an idea from an oversight perspective as to the security at the Midrand office. We visited you in November. We were very impressed. It's a wonderful office, but it is a concern that those computers were stolen. Is there been any, have they been recovered? And obviously the information on that computer is relating to personal information of not only the judges but staff is a matter of great concern if it ends up in the wrong hands. If you'd like to just answer us on that. And then the issue relating to the reported incidents of fraudulent court orders. I know there was a special investigation into that. Is that being addressed? That was a massive issue that is of concern, where fraudulent court orders are being obtained for nefarious reasons. For the time being, Chair, that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Swart, Honourable Horn.
Briefly on the issue of the change in the annual performance plan, and specifically in respect of those issues that was now mentioned in that table, and what we as a committee decided or advised specifically also for the Department of Justice and the NPA, also complained that their view was that in respect of some of the performance indicators, they had meetings with the Auditor General, and that as a result of the measurability and so forth of some of these issues, it would also be moved away from the performance plan to an operational plan or whatever. So I would like to hear from the OCJ whether we can possibly ask also that in future, if the information is still available, that it be reported on, despite the fact that it's not part of the APB. Because in the absence of information to that effect, obviously the oversight function of this committee is, I think, hampered. That's the one aspect, Jay. And then secondly, in respect of Sajay, previously we were informed that, let me put it this way, one got the impression that there was not much in fluidity in terms of the APB and the training that was planned for the year. Last year, for example, we were informed that due to a slower pace in the appointment of magistrates, certain a portion of the budget would not necessarily be spent. So one would like to hear whether Plan B's and C's this year may be are in place to ensure that money, which is ring-fenced for training purposes, in the end do not remain unspent. And then, Chair, there was one other aspect, yes. In respect of the Superior Courts Act and the ICT, it's good to see that the Department of Justice will be footing the bill for the licenses. But the question now, and I'm talking to the last slide in respect of I don't want to say the wish list, because it's not necessarily in all cases a wish list. The question is, whilst the OCJ has in certain aspects, in respect of both the implementation of the Superior Courts Act and the Mpumalanga High Court, in the past managed to through shifting of funds, operationalize what should be operationalized, I think we must be informed in a more clear manner whether there's really no room to maneuver to effect these needs. Because whilst we obviously will hopefully be sympathetic to the cause of the OCJ in this regard, we also cannot close our eyes for the fiscal reality in this country. So it would be good to hear whether the OCJ is in the meantime making their own internal plans to operationalize the Mpumalanga High Court and implement the Superior Court Act. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Hon. Honorable Maila.
No, thanks very much, Chair. And thanks, SG and the CFO for the presentations. Chair, let me start by congratulating the Chief Justice for being elected the President of the Conference of Constitutional Jurisdictions of Africa. It makes us proud as a country. In that instance, the Chief Justice emphasized that judges must be men and women of integrity, and emphasized that they should play a crucial role in eradicating corruption, and also indicated that can only be achieved if judges are not corrupt. Now, I wanted to check in relation to our country, because this message was to the whole of Africa. In relation to our country, do we have systems in place to ensure that we can be able to root out corruption in the judiciary? I'm not trying to imply that our judges are corrupt. I'm just saying, in guarding against that, we have systems in place to ensure that we root out corruption in whatever form within the judiciary. Second, Chair, I would like to come to the issue raised by Honorable Swart on the break-in at the Office of the Chief Justice. I want to check after that break-in, what have we done as OCJ to ensure that a similar incident doesn't occur? Have we upped up our security? And if we did, what are the implications on the budget? Because that was an unforeseen matter. Now, Chair, when you look at the plan on obtaining as inaudited in the 1920 financial year, the indication is that in the 1890 financial year we have an audit outcome with no more than 3 meters of emphasis. But I wanted to look at the situation. Do we have any matters of emphasis in our latest audit, and how are we dealing with this? Is there any way that we are working together with the Office of the Auditor General to ensure that if such matters are there, they are speedily resolved? slide 17. 1.9. See, the number of asset registers with no material value is confused. So I wanted to check the current situation in relation to the asset register. Do we have any material value is there? If we have, how are we dealing with it? And lastly, Chair, on the issue of on the land claims, I just wanted to check in terms of the processing of land claims. Are there any deadlocks? If there are deadlocks, what is the plan to ensure that the land claims are speedily resolved so that this issue of land, which is a major cry in the country, is actually dealt. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matthias.
Honorable Chair, you will grant me the right to act as a whip for the majority party and allow Honorable Bongo to speak before me. But well and good, let me proceed to make my point.
Maybe you must join first, Chairperson, the ruling party, then we'll allow him that.
Well, joining.
Okay, go on, Honorable Matthias.
Joining what? I don't know what are you feeling. Okay. The delegation from the Office of the Chief Justice, when you look at the estimates of national expenditure for the department, and specifically looking at your own annual performance plan, among the priorities that we have flagged out in the past presentation was the whole issue of the efficiency enhancement committees and related structures, which coordinate a whole range of mandates. Among them is this judicial norms and standards and the effectiveness of judicial officers to the extent that they uphold to the professional ethics and standards for which they are required to uphold. We are a little bit disturbed by our observation that there might be some instances of violation of the judicial norms and standards, which of course may also, if that is true, the concern raised by Honorable Maila may of course be, and in that case may also be vindicated, without implying that judges are corrupt or magistrates or generally judicial officers are corrupt. But whenever there are instances of reported or alleged violations of the judicial norms and standards, would we be wrong to suspect that there are some judges who are corrupt? An instance in this case are reported or alleged violation or acts of misconduct by some judges and magistrates in the Eastern Cape, particularly in Mthatha. If that is the case, what are you doing to enhance the upholding of the judicial norms and standards? And what would be the relevance of these provincial efficiency and enhancement committees if there would be some instances or cases like these which falls through the cracks? And there seem to be no mechanism in place to hold those who violate the judicial norms and standards to account, and would expect you in the next appearance before this committee to report on measures, if not measures, at least mechanisms in place which you would have introduced to root out elements which would want to bring the name of our judiciary into disrepute. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mateus. Honorable Mumana.
Thank you.
First of all, I must please say thank you for your presentation. There are certain very few things I just wanted to check. By the way, did I see you after the president appointed Justice Meyer? I didn't. Can you pass that to her? Congratulations. Last time we were there, I read it at your offices. There was a discussion which I initiated related to the use of African languages in court. We agreed to disagree with the Chief Justice that he doesn't think so. Is there any move towards that? Do you, I raise this because I think even from the word go, if a policeman doesn't know English and he takes a statement in it, by the time it comes to any court, it's a completely different thing. And that he doesn't do justice. I made an appeal to him personally. I know he doesn't accept it, but I just want to say it now while we're in the committee, that is it not possible that you reconsider that? I understand it's a convenience to people who understand the English, and perhaps they even take the word of the interpreter as correct. I personally feel it is not so. I know it is very, very difficult for a person. I know the meaning can be very different. I don't know if in so many other languages. I made an example which I say in Xhosa, you say, "Hi, Ndiago." This may mean I hear. It may mean I understand. It may mean I agree with you. It may also mean I disagree with you, depending on how it's being said. Now, the interpreter may not, particularly these days, may not know if he comes from, say, from a different area in Cape Town, and somebody coming from a different area may not understand what this means. I'm making this appeal to you to consider very seriously that if you are standing for justice, and justice has to be done and sin to be done, there's no reason why South Africa becomes all of a sudden Britain. And that even the language of those people, they come to a foreign court when they come to a South African court. Now, it is very, very painful for people who don't understand. I understand that also Afrikaans is being played down now in favor of English. I'm not the one who can say, I'm sure Mr. Swart can stand for that. But I still feel that even that, to remove that from, at least it's very good, it works very well in the Western Cape and other areas where Africans are just being used, people understand each other. Why can't we use this same thing in Xhosa or whatever? So I'm really making an appeal to you people and say it is very painful for people who don't understand the language to come to a court, a foreign language is being spoken, and they are, everything is being decided about them. they don't know what's going on. They depend on the interpreter, what is being said. I think that the interpreter should interpret for record or perhaps for the judge, but not the proceeding, if possible, must be done in the African language. That is the first thing that I would like you to please accept. I also would like you to, I'm interested in the theft, the effect of the theft that occurred in those buildings, and what measures, if any, did you take to so that there should be no repeat of that. Is this an inside job? Have you discovered that? I don't mean one of your judges did that, but I'm saying... I'm saying that what could be the reason for this, and if you have made any investigation, and you probably know, I'm worried that there could be a precedent and which can be followed. This is a constitutional court building. You know, it can be followed by other courts, in the lower courts, you see, that precedent of stealing from the Superior Court building. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fundana, Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks, SG, for the comprehensive report. I think since we have established this vote, it's quite doing well, and we appreciate that. Maybe let me start off by, let's go to page 17, no, page 20, page 24. But what appears on page 24 is what it also appears on other pages in terms of the strategic objectives and your targets. In other areas where you write it in terms of percentages, and in other areas you write it in terms of numbers. So that may create some problems for the committee to do oversight on yourselves, because if you check the say percentage of taxation of legal costs finalized, you say 80%. And then in the outer years, you say 90 and 100. But to me, is that you will not know how many. You will not know how many will come in that particular quarter. To say it's 80%, you may fail to then determine what is the real number. Because to me, it's like if you say we are not sure of the number that would be there in a particular quarter or in a particular financial year, it may as well be good that we just write that 100%, because it will be 100% of what was brought in front of the court, than to put a percentage 80%, then it's 80% of what. But if it's 100%, you're not sure how many will come, but if two comes, that may constitute 100%. So I think I want you to thoroughly look at that, because this APP is a yardstick against which we are going to be monitoring and oversighting your department about. I want you to comment why the report look beautiful and so on. There are reports sometimes in the media and elsewhere that there's a racial tension in the court administration. That is true. To what extent, and what are the mitigating factors around and what are the plans around the racial tension that is perceived or which is there in the end. I also want to just briefly touch on the case flow management. Yes, that would be an important matter in terms of moving forward. We're also told that at some point that we have a beautiful constitution in South Africa. But over and above that, Chair, it was said that almost 70% of the citizens do not even know the constitution. So I want to clap that with this education that we're talking about, what extent this judicial education, to what extent do you want to push this judicial education vis-a-vis the citizens who must understand this important document. And in terms of your plans, I want your comment on the integrated criminal justice system. How do you connect to other departments, the correctional service, police, and so on? Your participation, and how far are we in terms of ensuring that that program is fast-tracked? It is also said that you owe 70 million to G-Fleet. What are the plans around that? Have you dealt with that matter? How far are we? And also to commend you about the issue of around clean audits. Related to commend you. It is also said that there is a problem around the workload. But some judges have a pile of work. I think it's also linked to case law management. The workload, pile of cases, others have less. So if we're to clarify the committee, what are your plans around those issues? Your management performance assessment tools, I think it's also linked to the case flow management issues. How do we navigate around those issues? I think I'm covered by Honorable Mulwana around the use of indigenous languages. I think it's a matter that we have raised now several times. What are the plans around ensuring that we use indigenous languages in courts? Because when we got into the parliament, part of our mandate was radical transformation. So in this aspect of work, we want to see a sign or a roadmap that takes us towards radical judicial transformation. And it is indicated in the APP that there are some fraudulent court orders that are given by some of the courts. I think if you were to share with us which are these courts and the extent to which judges are involved in these fraudulent court orders that are given by these various courts. I think what is going to make us fight is the report that the CFO gave about the Mpumalanga High Court. I think that is unacceptable. The building is there. From the outside of it, it looks complete. And it's a very beautiful building. So if there's no plan around it whilst it's still new, then we are sitting with a huge problem. This is serious and a huge problem for the people of Mpumalanga. Because what we raised, I think it was when we were at Pulukwane Chair, we were told that these courts will be open simultaneously. That's an impression that was given to us. Later on, we were told that there's a problem of entrance. So now I just do not understand how do we build such a beautiful building and not allocate funds. I think you need to elevate that matter as a very serious matter. And because I'm told in Mpumalanga there are already high court chambers, there are people who are ready to go to court. And I'm told that there's some circuit court at Kaskop that is operating, and it is a bit far. I think from Lelystrade to Haskop is almost three hundred kilometers, which is almost the same as going to Pretoria. So I think we need to put some efforts around that matter. I think it's a matter that must be highly elevated. It is just not acceptable. I think, Chair, I may stop there for now so that we allow the questions, we allow the answers from the SG and the team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe also to inquire as to why you're thinking of removing risk management from internal audit. I'm just thinking that internal audit is about risk assessment, and risk management would be the outcome of the risk assessment. And then also, why there's no target in your first, second, and third quarter on capacitating the Office of the Chief Justice? We only have a target in the fourth quarter. Your strategic risk is too much inward looking. Maybe what is also important is looking at what outcomes and the kind of impact they have on the transformation agenda for that. That's part of the strategic risk. And that will then directly influence your transformation agenda. Because even with transformation agenda, it's still inward looking. It's not looking at the broader South African society and how you are actually going to be influencing change that we want to see happening in South Africa. I think all of us are concerned about Mbombela High Court. The sooner we get to know as to what strategy will be put together to ensure that once the court is ready, then we are in the position to have the running court for the court, I think the better for us. And also, in the meantime, what you could do is to look at total funds and to try and identify areas you can actually make some form of transfer from. Even the audit cost, I think it's urgent. You've indicated, CFO, that which is weird. I don't understand how come it has happened to your medium-term expenditure payment, that you go to Treasury and Treasury say that they're not approving such a budget line, because you need to get audited. But I think it's something that needs to be sorted out. Because no matter what happens, the audit has got to take place. We appreciate also the idea that you are also looking at giving and presenting to us JSC reports, because we normally don't get any information on JSC. It does exist, but in terms of oversight and the structure, it's not really easy because we don't get reports. So it would be good to be in the position to get to understand exactly what's going on. Program 3, you're having increase of 64%, and you're actually saying it's because you have actually moved BSE and judicial support, but there's no other budget lines where this used to be that actually indicates that there's been reduction, so there's still increase. And I'm actually saying this in the background of understanding that we are actually seriously looking at reduction across the board of the expected national expenditure. Because what has been happening over years, and this is why public spending is so much, is that, you know, E&E is always for cutting. But the fact of the matter is, if it's about just the fiscus of the country, it just depends as to what extent the country would be in the position to finally afford this. So you need to look at it carefully so that you see if there's anything maybe that has not been properly looked at. I'm also interested in your fleet management policy. You mentioned the vehicles that are for the judges. Just to give us an idea on that fleet management policy in terms of vehicles and the type and basis of vehicles and what you do with the vehicles that are obsolete. Thank you. Over to you for response.
Thanks, Chairperson, and Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. I will combine responses in relation to related questions, but members can indicate where we did not do that. And I will focus mostly on the common questions and deal with them firstly. First, the issue of the theft at the of computers and the break-in at the court, sorry, at the OCJ. The concern raised by the committee is noted with regret because it was quite a sad incident for us too. In terms of what are we doing and to ensure that the recurrence does not happen, I just want to indicate that subsequent to the incident, the police, South African Police Services, responded to the incident quite heavily and assisted the Office of the Chief Justice in that regard with regard to investigations, etc. The investigation still continues as we speak. A senior police officer was assigned to the case to ensure that all areas are covered. What we have done as the OCJ subsequent thereto, besides engaging the police, firstly, the police have also upped the security patrolling around the precinct or the building. We have an arrangement with the local Midrand police to make sure that they do that, in addition to other matters that national office is looking at, other options with regard to the security arrangements around the precinct or the building, sorry. After the incident, the number of physical security guards were increased to ensure that the perimeter around the building is more secured and more patrolled, especially around the vulnerable hours of the day. The landlord has also committed to also change the security fencing around the building to make sure that it is more secure, because the current one, it has become very clear that it is vulnerable, so that they replace it with clear view, which is a more stronger kind of fencing around the perimeter. The exterior lights of the building has also been improved to ensure that while the guards are extra and patrolling the area, there is also lighting available to make sure and be a deterrent. We are also looking at the commitment made by the South African Police Services to offer to assist with the security arrangement, because an issue was raised whether the building should continue to be protected by private security or by the police, and whether there is a need to look at it around the national key point environment. But the decisions are not yet made that the police is looking at, and the decisions will be taken later. In terms of us as the OCJ, we have also increased and are busy installing the extra cameras, the biometric systems inside the building and outside, to make sure that access can be monitored and can be controlled as such. I must also mention that the security remains of the physical security of the buildings remains the responsibility of the Department of Justice. It is a retained function when the transfer of functions of the Superior Court took place in October 2014. We therefore work with the Department of Justice also, and they are part of the increment of the security guards that will be busy outside the perimeter to deter access. That is, in a nutshell, that, as indicated, the investigation still continues. I am in constant liaison with the, in regular liaison with the senior official that has been assigned to the case. On the issue relating to the Mpumalanga High Court, which is also a common question, The concerns of the committee is noted, and it is also our concern because we have done the best we can within the organization to also transfer monies to try and patch other areas where there are gaps. But I think the committee will appreciate that you can just do that to a certain extent. There is a point where it becomes unsustainable. So, as I indicated, we have the staff, the 6-member staff that are available, and we will pursue National Treasury because I do not foresee that when the court is open, National Treasury will not be willing at that stage to have the operations of the court funded. We will work with the JP when he is appointed to make sure that we start in a phased approach. But in terms of funding, we have indicated, we have looked inside, we have approached the National Treasury on various occasions. The funding was not done. That is how far we can go. But myself and the CFO will continue to find ways within the constraints of the budget that we have, whether we can be able to find ways to have the court functional, albeit in a very skeletal way, because that's how we'll have to stay should the funds not become available at the time when the court now starts to operationalize. And we will keep the committee informed of the developments and the efforts that we're making in that regard. Madam, the question relating to the removal of the indicators and targets relating to the judicial function and the request that we continue to share the information. We will share the request of the committee with the heads of court and the Chief Justice in that regard. As I've indicated, we are assisting the Chief Justice and the heads of court committee that is seized with the work on this in this instance. There was a question relating to the priorities in the E&E, relating to the APP, priority on efficiency enhancement structures of the NEECs, and the violation of the nonsense, judicial nonsense standards by the judiciary. Chairperson, with your permission, may I not venture into the area of judicial function as it does not lie within the mandate? But safe to say that our role remains to support the judiciary to ensure that they comply with the norms and standards that are in place. The question was, what are we doing to enhance the NEC and measures in place to root out the elements of corruption within the judiciary? Without attempting to answer that question, as already indicated, that I should be excused from answering that, I may indicate to the committee, honorable committee, that there are the judicial ethics which is in place. There's a code of ethics for the judiciary that is in place in terms of the JSC Act. There are mechanisms for complaints handling within the JSC. And those are measures and means, in my view, that are in place to ensure that any matters that relate to judicial integrity and complaints are dealt with. And may it suffice for me to leave it at that. The use of languages in the court is an ongoing conversation and concern that has been raised, and the difficulties that the people are faced with in the court, currently dealt with through the interpretation services and translation services that we have, is noted, and this matter was dealt with at length with the Chief Justice and the heads of court on the 26th of November. When the committee met with the Chief Justice. The interpretation services are being provided in the courts. The issue of the language of record has also been seized by the heads of courts, and they have made their decision and communicated that in relation to the language of record. However, the language of communication within the court remaining interpreted in relation to the languages that are official. I have noted the advice by the committee that we look as part of our transformation program also the issue around the language, and we will deal with that as we move forward with the work that I've already alluded to. The strategic objective relating to the taxation and the percentages that Honorable Member Bongo related to, just to indicate that if you refer to the strategic objective on page 32, we have on a footnote indicated that the reason why we craft our indicators and targets in percentages was exactly that we are not able to predict the number that will come in. However, at the end, when we report quarterly and annually, the numbers will always be indicated, because the committee has already in the past indicated that the percentage does not give the real picture. So we always, when we report quarterly, indicate what the numbers are vis-a-vis the percentages. The report on racial tensions in court administration, I will look at that. I was not sure what it related to. Honorable Bongo is not here. I would look at it, and Honorable Chairperson, with your permission, I will engage Honorable Bongo to get the facts on the issue. I don't want to mention that. On case law management and the fact that the citizens are not necessarily taught about the Constitution, as indicated, we will look at that program as part of our communication services to see to what extent we will be able to do that. But I might indicate that funds remains a challenge in this respect. Our participation in the integrated justice system, and how do we connect with this and our participation, the NEEC and that at national level and the PEECs at provincial level, that are both led by the Chief Justice nationally and provincially by each judge president of each court, composed of all the members that are stakeholders critical to the functioning of the court. And it is at this instance that we participate as the OCJ to support the judiciary. And at these forums, both the performance relating to issues that affect the performance of the court, as well as the support services that are also affecting the functioning of the courts, are dealt with, and the plans are in place to deal with those. For instance, the correctional services at the NEC as well as at the PEECs do deal with issues relating to overcrowding and the causes thereof, and what plans are being done to deal with those, both at national as well as at the provincial level. And it is a matter that is ongoing and on the table of the both forums, and it was also discussed in the last NEC in April. This NEC also, just to tie it to the question relating to the fraudulent court orders, a committee at NEC level was put together when this problem of the court orders became a problem that we all know of and that we are not proud of. And that committee, led by Judge J.P. Mlambo of the Gauteng High Court, is in place, supported by the relevant stakeholders, to ensure that the root causes are looked at and interventions are put in place. So it is a matter that is in the agenda of the NEC and the PECs. The police are involved, and they have been also, as part of that committee, sensitized to ensure that when cases relating to these are dealt with speedily, and they are dedicated to a team that will make sure that they are given the necessary attention. Also, with the Department of Justice, there are also plans as part of this committee to look at the court order paper, whether it should not, in terms of improving it, to make sure that it is not easy to forge it. So in the broader sense, my response on this is that the court order issue is already seized by the NEC and the PECs, and is being given attention in that regard. The question relating to the problem of caseload, where caseloads are high and some judges have more or less cases, and the plans in relating to that, that I can communicate to the judiciary, as the JPs are the one who do case scheduling, and I can follow up with the relevant member on the issue so that we can do that. Also, the relating to the court orders, the question, the other question relating to that was which courts are most affected by this problem. The answer is that the Gauteng High Court, which is the biggest, as you understand, the biggest court in this land, is the one that is experiencing more of these issues than others. But it is a systemic issue relating to all cases. Indigenous language, I've dealt with it. May the CFO deal with the budget questions whilst I consolidate some of the questions. Move forward to you, CFO.
Thank you, SG. Honourable Chair. Let me start off with the explanation on the budget again, on the ceilings. If you go to slide 36. Let me deal with the question on the judges and the 0% increase that the judges received in the previous financial year. That then means that in the previous financial year there was a 0% increase, and therefore in the previous financial year expenditure we then incurred a saving of around 30 million on judges' salaries. However, Treasury has indicated that they are allowing an increase for this financial year, or a possible increase, and therefore they've increased our budget for judges' salaries. And therefore you will see that the salaries for judges, the budget has slightly increased from 950 to 966 million to allow for a possible increase. However, the members must also remember, whatever happens, if we have a shortfall in direct charges as a result of a higher than foreseen increase, Treasury automatically amends our budget. It's not something that we have to afford a saving in the voted funds. Because it's a direct charge, Treasury has to do that adjustment. Now, the very value of relevant question on the transfers and subsidies, the decrease of 81 million to 57 million. The main reason for that is, honourable members, you must remember the transfers and subsidies is the item where we pay the judges gratuities from. Now, judges are entitled to a percentage of their salaries after every 15 years of service. So what it means is after 15 years, the judge is then entitled to gratuity. So in our budgeting process, we determine and calculate which judges are eligible and due for gratuities in a specific financial year, and therefore we adjust the budget, or we budget for that amount more or less for that year. So it so happens that in the previous financial year, there were more judges that were entitled to gratuities. And in terms of our calculation, in terms of years of service, this year there will be less judges that will receive these gratuities. And that's why we have the difference there. If you go to the next slide, please, Tebogo. Then the question on compensation of employees. Let me try and explain the ceiling issue again. Currently, if we increase by cost of living plus notches, which Treasury actually indicates to us in the three-year cycle what the percentages are, with the current employees that we have appointed, for the current financial year we would need 604 million. We have a budget of 615 million, which will give us around 11 million that we could have used to appoint personnel. However, if we then increase the 604 million of this current financial year with the current personnel, no additions, with the cost of living and the notches increased, as indicated by National Treasury, that amount will move in the next financial year to 660 million. And then you will notice that our budget is only 648 million for that year. So there we will have a shortfall already of 12 million with the current personnel. If we then increase that again to the next year with cost of living of officials, as well as notches increases, we would then need 718 million in the outer year for the current amount of people that we have. You will then also notice that the budget there is only 698. So even if we appoint people in this financial year to the extent of achieving 615 million cost of employees, then we would need an additional 22 million to the budget that is allocated by Treasury in the next year, and the outer year additional 33 million. So what I'm then saying is, although there's a quite an increase in the current financial year in the budget, the main portion is in the cost compensation of employees. But because of the outer year ceilings, we are limited. We cannot use the money that was that was allocated to us. Right. Then on the question of Sajay, yes, there was an issue around the slow appointment of magistrates, which is part of the Magistrates Commission's work. It's also administered by the Department of Justice. The OCJ is only responsible for the training of the magistrates in terms of the judicial training. So in terms of our engagement with the Department of Justice and National Treasury, that amount of 10 million, as I indicated in the presentation, was added to the Sajay budget this year. And the reason being that they have foreseen that there will be a number of new magistrates appointed in this financial year. So provision has been made for the training, and there will be no detriment to Sajay as a result of that. In terms of our interactions with DOJ, they have also already committed an additional amount, should it be needed, if more magistrates are appointed, of around 7.5 to 8 million, that they will fund the training for the magistrates. The question around the audit and the findings of the Auditor General and the materiality thereof, in the first year of the OCJ, which was the previous 2015-16 financial year, and then the previous audit report, there were basically five matters of emphasis that was found by the Auditor General. No material findings were reported by the AG. Now, those five matters, I can quickly break it down. Two were non-compliance issues. The one was the issue around capturing of leave within a certain period. The other non-compliance was the 30-day payments, where the department achieved an average of 83% of our suppliers were paid within 30 days, and the Auditor General was of the opinion that it's non-compliant. The other two findings that were not on compliance, that was on the financial statements. The issue of assets was a finding, and the majority of the findings revolved around library books. Now, the honourable members will remember that the assets were transferred as is, and the asset register were transferred as is from the Department of Justice to the OCJ. So in our first year, we had to go through a process of physically verifying almost 780,000 library books in terms of existence, rebarcoding. So the library books in our first year of existence was a challenge. The Auditor General had a finding, although they stated it's not a material finding, but it was a matter of emphasis. The question was raised, what are we doing in this financial year, or what have we done the previous year to ensure that our asset registers are up to date? We went through two physical verification processes in the previous financial year. We have had a big focus on the issue of library books, which was the finding of the previous year, where the librarians physically had to verify the library books on a quarterly basis. We've improved the recording system around library books when they are issued to judges or to the researchers in the courts. So the whole control around library books have been improved in the previous financial year. Another question.
One G Fleet, the question was the 70 million debt that the OCJ was set to owe the G Fleet. The CFO can give details later if necessary, but subsequent thereto, I personally with the CFO met with the CEO of the G-Fleet to resolve this matter. The amount that was alleged in the media that we owed, we disputed it, and our amount was 26.3 million, which we have settled as we speak within the same month, because there were issues that I need not bother you with, that I discussed with the CEO personally, with our CFOs. We agreed that our CFOs will work together to make sure that this mishap doesn't happen anymore, because it was quite unfortunate that an amount was flown in the media, was the internal agreements or internal engagements were in place. However, fast forward, we have settled the amount that we said we owed according to our records, 26.3 million. The other outstanding issues relate to the charges which G-Fleet did not charge, or the invoices that they never placed before us because of their own internal issues, which unfortunately in the media those kind of things did not come out. Be that as it may, we have agreed with the CEO that our CFOs will work together to correct that, because the two issues are, we were built for when the G-Fleet function was, or the support was still with Justice, but two, there were other things that because of their own internal system issues they did not bill you, and therefore how do you pay if you were not being billed? So I'll leave it at that, but just to say that we have put measures in place with the CEO to make sure that this thing does not recur. We can there was a question relating to G-Fleet about judges' vehicles that I did not get properly. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The only outstanding financial question, according to my notes, is the question that you raised about the transfer of JSC and judicial support to program. From program 2 to program 3, and why don't you see a reduction in the program 2 budget there? If you look at the amount, it's a very small amount relatively to the program 2 budget. It's only an amount of around 18 million that is transferred out of program 2, which is a total budget of 737. So the percentage is very low. And that's why you wouldn't see a decrease in the budget, because the normal CPIX increase from in program 2 is much more than 18 million. So that's why it looks like a very big increase. If you fat 18 million out of a budget of 50 million, it's a huge amount. And that's why it looks very big in program 3. But the actual amount is only 18 million of the budget that has been transferred between the two programs. So the increase looks big in program 3 because it represents a big portion of the program 3 budget. An increase from 50 million plus 18 million gives you 68 million, plus the 10 million additional for Sajay would give you about 78 million, and then your normal CPIX brings it to 82 million for the year. Then the issue of the judges' vehicles and the policy. The judges' vehicles benefits are contained in the regulations on the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act. Section 12 of the Act determines or says that a judge or an acting judge is entitled to a government-provided vehicle of which the class and value is determined by the minister. That is what the Act says in terms of the remuneration. So what it means is that even if an acting judge is appointed for a period, they are entitled to a government-provided vehicle. Now, the class of vehicle that is determined by the minister at this stage is a BMW 740i or a Mercedes-Benz SL 350. Now, that is then the type of vehicle that needs to be procured for judges. In terms of the cost containment measures, however, the judges at the heads of court have taken a decision under the leadership of the Chief Justice that they will voluntarily reduce some of these benefits that they are entitled to assist the state in general, but the OCJ in specific, to also be able to afford their benefits. So they've reduced their own benefit. It's a voluntary manner. It's not something that Treasury implemented or could implement, because the Constitution also stipulates that the salaries and benefits of judges may not be reduced. So as a voluntary decision, the heads of court then reduced some of their own benefits, which we have implemented in the OCJ. And we have effected some savings in the department, obviously as a result thereof. But as you would know, that a judge is entitled to the vehicle for a period of 4 years or 160,000 kilometers. So this cost containment measures that they've implemented among themselves is something that will pick up speed as we move along, because the moment when they took the decision, all the judges had vehicles, most of them very luxurious vehicles in terms of the benefits, but it will now be phased out to a lower level over the next four-year period. So that is a benefit that we actually as officials or Treasury cannot tamper with, because it's legislated. But in terms of, and it's not only on vehicles that they've implemented voluntary cost containment measures, there are other benefits which they have also indicated we are allowed to reduce. But that's a decision they took amongst themselves, and they can reverse the decision themselves at any time. What we also have to indicate, if there are judges that insist on the legislated benefits, we have to then afford them those benefits. But what we do is we do it in conjunction with the judge's president, so that the judge's president are aware then of the judges who do not want to voluntarily comply with the cost containment measures.
Secretary, I just want to ask a few more questions about the theft of the computers, because it's an issue a number of us have raised, and I think we need to just get a bit more clarity. Firstly, without detracting from any of the security info that you advised us of, a straightforward question. When we were there, I don't remember seeing any CCTV cameras. Do you have CCTV cameras? Or, and if you didn't, is that something that is being planned? If you had it, is that being studied for the purposes of trying to ascertain the perpetrators? And then, at the time of the theft, your spokesperson indicated that very sensitive information had been stolen on the computers. The stolen computers contain important information about judges and officials, and it constitutes a huge setback for the entire administration of justice. Now, if that is what your office says, not the Chief Justice, the office of the Chief Justice said at the time, what have you done in the meantime to mitigate against that huge setback that you've indicated? That's the first, because we need to understand. I hope you understand. I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I'm just trying to understand what the implications are. The last aspect is, was it only those computers, because some people have said it seems to, it may have been a direct attack on the judiciary, that only certain computers were taken, and it was only in human resources. Were the other computers that were left not taken at all? Because then, and I appreciate the police are investigating, but to enable us to understand the implications, firstly for the administration of justice, and then secondly, for the safety of both officials and judges. Can you just further unpack that for us? Thank you.
Chairperson, through you, I'm in a very difficult situation, and I quite appreciate the Honourable Member's question. But it was subsequent to exactly what was happening, the communication that was happening, that the National Commission, Acting National Commissioner himself, indicated to me that please, we are busy, and the more you keep on saying on your side, the more you are making this office more vulnerable, and if please you can just take a step back and allow us to do what we have to do. However, I can, through your chairperson, your indulgence, if necessary, I think offline maybe we can discuss this issue, but I have been advised not to divulge the information in relation to that. However, with regard to what we are doing administratively, I've indicated we have beefed up the security
in the building, and keeping in mind that the function is not funded within the OCJ, is a DOJ function. And therefore, within, because of the areas of vulnerability, we have tried to get certain funds within ourselves to do the to beef up some of the security. But it is exactly this kind of information that I'm asked not to divulge. May I have your indulgence, Chairperson and Honourable Member?
I think it's fine. Maybe offline you could actually engage Honourable Swart. Yes, but thanks for the information. I think the one thing that maybe you could actually respond to is to whether you now have CCTV cameras or you have intention of having those cameras.
Chair, can I just follow up? And I appreciate the section, but just on the administration of justice, that's not an investigatory issue. That's purely because that obviously impacts the public, everyone. And it was stated that this constitutes a huge setback for the entire administration of justice. So that's not investigatory. Thanks.
Honorable Bongo, and maybe also even CCTV cameras, it's not really necessary.
I think with due respect to the question of Honorable Swart, all that is important, the information they're telling us is that they must not say anything, but they just... they're just assuring us that the matter is being handled. I think that is sufficient. But to just get into that matter when there's a clear advice, I think, with due respect, Honorable Swart, we have to leave it at that. We'll be briefed on what is happening. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, will you make a ruling? But just on the administration of justice, that is broad. That's got nothing to do with the investigation. Maybe the SecGen can just clarify it and say that was an incorrect statement. It's got nothing to do with the investigation. But he has a statement that says that the whole administration of justice is impacted. That's a big statement.
I think what we will just do is to allow you to say what is possible for you to say. Yes, that's all. You're not under pressure to say what you're not supposed to say at all.
Chairperson, I would, if you allow me, prefer to engage separately on the issue. I will definitely
point
do that.
Point noted. Honourable Swart, I hope you understand. You may proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. We note the advice of the committee on the risk. Strategic Risk and Transformation Agenda, the comments that the Chairperson has made with regards to inward looking and that. The risk management and internal audit, I think, has been dealt with. I think we've covered it. Okay. The reason why risk management and internal audit had to be separated is the issue that we're struggling with the Audit and Risk Committee because of the conflict. If you look at the framework of the Treasury, risk management, internal audit cannot together do that under one person. So the advice that we got from the ORC, Audit and Risk Committee, was that we need to separate this, and therefore that is why when the budget structure was reviewed through Treasury, we removed it and placed it under management, still within the same program, just so that we do the separation. Because the difficulty will be the internal auditor, how is he going to do risk management? If he's responsible for risk management, how is he going to subject his work on risk management on internal audit when he's doing himself or herself? So that was the only reason why it has to be separated. The work is performed through different units, but still under the same program management, or program one, sorry. I think I've covered all the areas, Chairperson and members. If I have left, we have left out any question. I can't find anything. Thanks very much.
Honorable Mulana.
Maybe I was outside. Did you step in the question of language?
You did.
Oh my God. Oh.
Okay, I think that covers almost all. Let me take the opportunity of thanking the Office of the Chief Justice for presenting before us today, and the meeting is declared closed.
Thank you, Chairperson.